Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in the North Dakota Corn Grower Studio. The last four holdouts in the armed occupation of a wildlife refuge in eastern Oregon surrendered peacefully this morning. It was 40 days long. An extraordinary hours-long negotiation with supporters and FBI agents. Thousands of people listened in online. Live stream as it was. David Fry aired a kind of long list of grievances. Said he was suicidal, said he wanted liberty or death, but ultimately gave himself up without a fight. It ended a lot differently than Waco, thank God. A guy who's kind of had his finger on the pulse of that whole situation from before day one is ag activist, advocate, Trent Luce. Hello, Trent.
Hey, Mick. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. You were listening in online last night, and tell us what were the emotions that were going through while you were listening in?
I think the only word that comes close to describing it would be intense. It was intense from a standpoint of being a listener, and intense from the standpoint of somebody who actually stood at the refuge 30 days ago and just felt like I wanted to do something, you know, and I didn't really know what to do. And as Gavin Seam did an amazing job putting this together and streaming this to the world, I was able to get a message or two through to him that I think maybe made an impact. But it was all just, I think 75,000 people were all online listening, trying to figure out what they could do. It was just an amazing experience. And as you said, we're fortunate that after about an hour and a half earlier today, David Fry ate his cookie, smoked his cigarette, and got the FBI agents in unison to say hallelujah, and he walked out to them. So the climatic conclusion today was just as interesting as the whole thing.
What was your message to him that you transmitted?
My message was just make sure that we continue. I said, Gavin, I think you're doing a fabulous job. Make sure that you continue to lead the discussion, because I thought what he was generating was tremendously productive and very helpful.
When it started, it captured the attention of the media. The Good Morning America, the Today Show, Nightly News all had coverage of it. Trent, do you think the fact that it ended peacefully, it's over, that the point of why they did what they did, how they did it, is that going to be lost with the American public?
Honestly, Mick, I think it's been lost for the last 30 days. If people will remember, the overall premise is the overreaching federal government. But the impetus behind why this happened in Oregon as it did was that Dwight and Stephen Hammond have been resentenced to 5 years in prison for managing resources correctly. I'm yet to find somebody, and I've been searching for now 2 months, to find anybody that's familiar with anybody in the United States that was ever sentenced for the same crime twice. It's happened. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that Ammon Bundy, his brother Ryan, and a group of other patriots went to the refuge to begin with. Interesting to point out that Ammon shared with me while I was there with him that he really didn't know anything about the refuge, but all of this had come to him in a dream. A dream told him, and God told him, that he needed to go take a stand on behalf of the Hammonds. And I think you're spot on. Unless some of us continue to remind people why this began, the Hammonds being resentenced unjustly, it will quickly fade. And so that'll be the call.
I ain't no lawyer, Trent, but I believe it's double jeopardy. Can't they get out on a technicality? Is it possible to? Yeah, no. The Hammonds are there. What is it? Terminal Island, where they've gone now.
That's correct. No, they can't use double jeopardy because they were not tried for the same crime twice. They were sentenced for the same crime twice.
Oh man!
Which again is unprecedented. This never happened before.
Unusual, strange, and again, this is that goes back to their they were kind of using some controlled burns. Was that the issue?
Well, that is the issue. It's a 137 acres. In 2006, the lightning strike hit their place, or hit the federal land close to them. They started a fire on their own deeded property as a backfire to put out the bigger fire. Mm-hmm. Stephen Hammond ultimately saved thousands of acres of federal land and deeded land from burning. but in the process of starting the backfire, 137 acres of federal property did burn. They called them terrorists. They prosecuted them under the 1996 anti-terrorism law. And the really sad part of this whole story is not only are Dwight and Stephen Hammond today in prison for 5 years, the BLM started a fire, the U.S. Forest Service started a fire in nearly your listening area around Lemon, South Dakota, 2 years ago. It got away from them. It burned thousands of deeded acres, killed 150 cows, destroyed millions of dollars worth of property. And the federal government says, oh, we're sorry, and will not take responsibility for it. Yeah. And yet they're putting the Hammonds in prison as terrorists.
It makes you shake your head. But again, what can the general public, certainly the agricultural public, do about it?
I've been scratching my head, Mick, for now 6 years, because I've been familiar with the Hammond situation that long. But in the last 60 days, I've really been trying to get the right answer to that question. And there's no doubt we need to compile information. And I'm working on my blog, getting all of the history and the information. Every single elected official needs to be aware of what's happened to the Hammonds. They need to contact their... I've been in contact with my senators, with my governor. I think everybody needs to follow suit. And if anybody listening wants information about the particulars in these cases and to see how this lack of justice has come to destroy one ranching family, get a hold of me. I'm not hard to get a hold of, and I'll be glad to get you that information. But the best thing that we can do is make sure that our elected officials know that this has happened and make sure they get the details.
The end of the occupation at the National Wildlife Refuge there, Eastern Oregon, came one day after the FBI arrested Cliven Bundy. He's the father of Eamon. And do you think, I'm not totally sure that, or I'm not totally certain that the Bundys getting involved, was that self-serving or was that a good idea?
Before I went to Burns, Oregon, and the refuge myself, I was very critical of the tactics and the way that Aaron Bundy went about it. After going there, seeing how he conducted himself, what they had done, basically they walked into a refuge, a U.S. Fish and Wildlife refuge that's not used in the winter at all. They didn't knock down a door. They opened the door. They went in and they said, we're going to occupy this facility until the Hammonds are released. If you attempt to come and remove us, we'll execute our Second Amendment right. Not at all as they're being portrayed in major media. I could easily see where if someone was doing nothing other than reading the papers and listening to how major media has portrayed this, you would have the idea that this just wasn't the right thing to do. After I went there, after I visited with Ammon Bundy, after I talked to the locals, all of the locals, by the way, are not in favor of the FBI. They're in favor of the people who occupied that wildlife refuge. And that really tells the story for me.
All right. Trent, you somewhat of a separate issue. You have a meeting earlier this week. You were talking to some folks about a meeting coming up in Bismarck, North Dakota. Let's talk about that a second.
Well, actually, there's a North Dakota tie to what has been happening in Oregon. Many of your listeners will remember Gordon Call, Medina, North Dakota. The date was actually February 13th, 1983. Mm-hmm. The 33rd anniversary of that situation will be this Saturday. So the former police chief of Medina, Daryl Graff, who was the police chief that day in Medina, is organizing a Patriot meeting in Bismarck at 1 o'clock at the Ramada Inn. And so I had Daryl on the radio, and he was talking about what he was going to do. He, in fact, was in contact with the Oregon U.S. Attorney General in the situation that as it was unfolding in the last 30 days. And he was also involved with the authorities on the Bundy Ranch in 2014. So Daryl's written a book. It's all about the power, and he's going to have a Patriots conference, and I think it's a tremendous opportunity for people to get together and see what we think we need to do going forward in maintaining our freedom as U.S. citizens.
All right, Saturday in Bismarck, and again, the time is?
1 o'clock at the Ramada Inn, right off the interstate.
All right, gotcha. All right, well, Trent, thank you so much. Again, Trent Luce, you got your own website. People can get a hold of you and get messages to the federal elected officials to keep this going in the news. So thanks a lot for being on the radio today, Trent.
Thanks, Mick. Always appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Agree or disagree, now you know a whole lot more than what you're getting in the national media. So.